Apollos was a man who possessed outstanding gifts. Now, the first thing I want to say to you tonight, that it's possible to have outstanding gifts and not be born again. Now, that's a great lesson we need to learn from this man tonight, is because it's easy in the church to talk about people having gifts and saying, oh yeah, they should be functional in the body of Christ, and then years later you find out that they've never been born of God. Those who have had gifts and haven't been born of God have made no contribution whatsoever to the body of Christ. They may have appeared to, and I've seen this so many times as a pastor, and I've seen it when I was on the road as an evangelist. The scripture says he was an eloquent man. In the Greek it means he was a learned man. You can be a learned man and be eloquent, but not eloquent in speech. But there's no doubt that he was a great orator. Oratory is not eloquence. The second thing we see about this man, he was mighty in the scriptures. He was a master of the Old Testament scriptures. And he had a gift of exposition. He had knowledge plus human power to express what he knew. You see this every day in the business world. You see this in humanism. It's very easy to go to a seminar and listen to some of these outstanding, eloquent people and realize that if they're going to sell you a product, they know all about it. And they've certainly got the human power to express what they know. Now, for anyone to become mighty in the scriptures, they must constantly study the scriptures. He undoubtedly studied the scriptures well, the Old Testament. He was comparing scripture with scripture. And the Bereans did this, of course, in Acts 17:11, and we'll tell you that they studied the Word of God. And, of course, when Paul came their way, they checked Paul out, didn't they? That's why I'm always telling you to bring your Bibles to church to check the preacher. How do you know whether the preacher's going to tell you the truth or not? You've got a Bible, you check him out by the Bible. It's not opinions, it's what the Word of God says. This undoubtedly was the strength of Apollos. He constantly studied the Scriptures as a very devout Jew. But when we look at 2 Timothy 2:15, what is the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, saying to you and to me tonight? 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a great word, isn't it, for all of us? Study to show thyself approved. I'm glad it doesn't say read, aren't you? Now, thirdly, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, that is, when he met two dear people, which we'll look at in a minute, and there's no question that he had come in contact with John the Baptist, and this is very interesting about Apollos, and with some of his disciples in Acts 18:25, I'll tell you that. Now, it's very, very clear to me from both the Bible and from history that Apollos really was a disciple of John the Baptist in many ways. He preached primarily what John the Baptist had preached before he became a born-again believer. And so the question we must all answer is this: are we instructed in the way of the Lord? We can be instructed in the Scripture, but are we really instructed in the way of the Lord? Then fourthly, Apollos was fervent in spirit. His soul was on fire with enthusiasm, and his enthusiasm overflowed. But so was Saul of Tarsus, wasn't he, on the Damascus Road? What more learned man in the Old Testament could you get than Paul, Saul? He was filled with enthusiasm. He was zealous for God. But he had not yet, until that moment on the Damascus Road, come to know the way of the Lord. Now, if people can become so enthusiastic about football or their political views, should they not be willing to be boiling over? And that's what it means in the Greek, to be boiling over. That's what the word fervent means in your English translation, about the gospel and the things of the Lord. Can you still get excited about the things of the Lord? I can, after 30 years of being a Christian. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, calls Apollos a lively, affectionate preacher. But somehow tonight we ought to catch some of the enthusiasm from this man and then see how it's channeled and how he comes into full development as a Christian. Fifthly, he was diligent. He was careful and he was accurate. No matter what time you go to study the Word of God, you need to be diligent, you need to be careful, and you need to be accurate in the exposition of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's only one way that you can do that. The most important thing, if you're going to study the Word of God, is to confess any known or unknown sin and get into a right relationship with God, because then comes divine illumination. Being sloppy in doing God's work and sharing God's Word is not honored by the Lord. Now, sixthly, he taught only the things of the Lord when he became truly a Christian. He preached the Word. He was a man of the book, as the old preachers used to say. He believed his message and he delivered it without fear or favor. The second point we have there in the notes, there was a very great lack in Apollos in his experiences and in his ministry. Now, we want to look at this, because in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, we read of converts who were probably under Apollos' ministry. They're the ones that Paul went up to and asked them had they heard of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and they hadn't till Paul got there. But in Acts 18:25, we are told that Apollos knew only the baptism of John. That's the only baptism he knew till he got converted. John's baptism, of course, was the baptism unto repentance. That is, it was an act of confession and a turning from sin. Now, the principle here is that the ministry of John the Baptist anticipated the coming of the Messiah. And it's very, very evident. It doesn't matter what history books you go looking through. You can go through Eusebius's and other history books. And it's very, very obvious that Apollos evidently had not heard that the Messiah had come. You might say, hey, come on, didn't he even hear about the Messiah Christ? It's possible that he didn't. Not everybody heard that Jesus was the Messiah. You know, there were people living outside of Palestine at that time. And he'd fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy of Isaiah 53 and 5 and 6. He'd risen, he'd ascended, and been exalted, and had poured out his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And this had never reached the ears of Apollos. Well, what does it mean in biblical terms? It means that Apollos was not a Christian in the full New Testament sense of the word. Well, what is a Christian? A Christian is one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, believes that he has come to earth and died for him, and then receives Christ into his heart as his own personal Savior, and then confesses Christ publicly by word of mouth, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 reveal. But there's no question that Apollos did not know the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no question about that. He was not born again, according to John 3 through 5. Indeed, he was not a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes? Oh, yes. I'll stop at this point to give you time to ask me some questions. Yeah. That's right. There are many preachers in the pulpit who do not know who the Holy Spirit is. It's true. And there are many in the churches who are Apollos's. They know the word quoted verbatim. I got another letter today from the Christian Articles from a bloke. He's not a Christian, he's an atheist. But I wanted to know, I put in one of the articles that God must have wanted us to have some quiet time because he put plenty of water on this universe. And the bloke wrote today and told me all the Hebrew and every detail of why God put it here and so forth, etc. Knew all the word and all the history, but doesn't know the Lord. All right, is there any question you want to ask up to this point in time about him? Yes, Vicky? Yes, an alcoholic, a drunk in the gutter who doesn't know the Lord can be used to bring a person to Christ. What I mean by that is circumstances related to their lives or to the circumstances can bring people to Christ. They wouldn't know how to lead a person to Christ in vocal conversation, but the circumstances, yes, and they can bring people to an awareness, yeah, there's no question about that. There are many ways to come to Christ, to know Christ, that is, but there's only one way to the Father. Christ said, I am the way, the truth. There's only one way to be born again, of course, and that is to know Christ. You think of the people who have been gloriously converted through music. Never heard a preacher, but through music. Bev Shea has probably been used of God to lead thousands to Christ through his music and his singing. And there's been many a testimony written and told of people coming to know Christ through just watching a Christian suffering in a hospital. So there are many ways in which we can be drawn to Christ. Well, then it's evident that Apollos at the beginning only preached part of the truth. He had a great academic quality, and all he said was true, but he lacked spiritual understanding. And I think this is the point that we need to really come to grips with. He not only lacked spiritual understanding, but he lacked spiritual power. Now, the result was he did not preach the gospel. Now, point three in your notes, Apollos was led into the full light of the gospel by two humble folk. And this is where I want tonight to stress the importance of ministry for you. We didn't call people counselors when I was an evangelist. We called them Bible instructors. And I used to say things like this from the platform. When people respond tonight, don't you dare assume as Bible instructors that that person has been converted. They've come as an inquirer. It is your responsibility to make sure that they understand the way of salvation. You think that's a bit cheeky for an evangelist, wouldn't you? But you know, many people tonight are in hell that have walked to the front of a church. Acts 18:26 is very important. And will you notice that these two people prayerfully took him under their care? So now we see the true character of this man. He was willing to listen and to receive instruction from Aquila and Priscilla, who preached the gospel to him and brought him into the truth which is in Jesus Christ. And there's a valuable lesson there. I can't find anywhere where Aquila and Priscilla argued the scriptures with Apollos. And that's the greatest tragedy with so many professing Christians today. They want to argue with someone else. Don't ever get into an argument over the Word of God. You know why? You'll lose every time. But if you're born again and you know in your spirit and you believe in your spirit that they are not yet spiritually discerning people, that is, they haven't been born again, it's far better to try and endeavor to bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, because God the Holy Spirit will bring about the illumination, won't he? I used to get angry with Christians when I first got saved. I still smoked. And these well-meaning Baptists used to have a go at me because I'd light up a cigarette. Well, these well-meaning Baptists didn't have a clue about me or what cigarettes were doing for me at the time. They were helping me get over some very difficult hurdles. And the Lord knew what he was doing. He'd taken the grog off me and took the drugs off me, and he left me with the cigarettes for a while. And after all, it was God the Holy Spirit who was going to convict me about smoking, wasn't it? But you know what I foolishly did? I listened to these well-meaning Baptists. You do this sort of thing when you're young in the faith and you're gullible. I went home and I said, oh, it must be wrong to smoke. They don't smoke. But I found out years later that Baptists never smoked. And then I realized why they're not on fire. But I had a great smile about all of this. So I said to my pastor, who was a loving man, I said, I'll try. And I went out and I used to buy mouthwash. And I went to the chemist and I got tablets. And I took all of this and I kept getting cranky and irritable and everything like that. Didn't do a thing for me. So the pastor called one day and I told him all about it. And when he walked in, I had a cigarette in my mouth. And I said, well, look, I said, I'm going to smoke. I said, I promise you I won't smoke at the church and upset those well-meaning people you've got up there. But I said, I'm going to smoke. And I did. I did, until God the Holy Spirit convicted me about my smoking habit. And when God the Holy Spirit convicted me, he just took it away from me like that. And I've never touched a cigarette for 27 years. And I've never craved for a cigarette. We've got a lot to learn, haven't we, about God the Holy Spirit. Well, these two humble people brought him into the knowledge of Christ and he was born again. The fourth point there is, it wasn't until now that Apollos could only help people up to the level of his own understanding, but now it's different. Apollos also reminds us of the great diversity of gifts in which we should operate in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 4 through to 6, Paul planted, Apollos watered, the Lord gave the increase. Remember that we cannot all be planters, but we can all be waterers. Did you know that? Are you watering the Lord's vineyard with the tears of your prayers? I know those of you that cry in prayer. And you've been crying over the lost, and you've been crying tears of joy. Nothing to be ashamed of is to share a few tears, is it? I'll let you have a good cry with me one of these days in prayer. Now, the next thing I see about Apollos, he also reminds us that the servant is nothing and that God is everything. In spite of all of his brilliance, his knowledge of the scripture and his eloquence and his academic qualifications, when he became truly born of God, he realized that he is nothing and that God is everything. I should imagine that the words of John the Baptist may have come flooding back to his ears. He must increase and I must decrease. He is the Lord Christ. He is the head of the church. It's his church, not yours, not mine. We're part of the body. We're part of the bride. Last night I found out some beautiful things about him being Lord, the Christos. I'll even tell you what I'm going to preach the first Sunday, if you like. Christ is Lord in the morning. On the night, divine promise and human responsibility. And then on your special weekend at night, I'm going to preach filled with all the fullness of God. There's something else that I have to tell you about this man that I discovered, and I want to see if you have discovered it, and we'll have some discussion. And it is this, that when we are in the will of God, we need to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. When you look at all the violence, all the political upheaval, and all that's going on in the world, but remember God is still on His throne. You know the old prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk as some people call him? He got a bit disturbed on one occasion, and he says, God, he said, what are you doing? God says, I'm still here, I'm still on the throne, and He's still on the throne. But you and I are going to be given the greatest opportunity ever to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church so that the church can say to the world what it needs to say. People are listening. You wait and see when the ad comes out on the 9th and the 16th. You will see how many people are listening. They are listening very, very closely to what the Spirit is saying to the church. All right? Learn something about Him? We're learning something about ourselves and about how God uses people. And remember, God uses every one of us.